We have truly been blessed this weekend by Brother Heyer's presence. I don't remember not knowing the name Alan Heyer's. He was partly in school with my father at Freed Hardeman College back at the time. And I've known of him ever since then. I guess my first somewhat adult memory of him is as a student at Freed Hardeman, hearing his voice at the open forum, the daily discussion at the end of each day of the lectures. His insight, his confidence, his abilities with God's Word are very much, very much appreciated by me, and I know by all of those who are in my family. He is a graduate of Freed Hardeman, of Lipscomb University, and also of the University of Memphis School of Law. Is an honorary doctorate from Freed Hardeman University granted him in 1985. Since 1989, he has been the editor of the Spiritual Sword Journal, a quarterly journal put out under the oversight of the Getwell Church of Christ. He said he'd only give one commercial for it during the class. Let me give another one now. I think it's probably the best journal that we have in the Brotherhood, and if you are not subscribed to it, you very well should be. He conducted the open forum, as I mentioned, for some 15 years at Freed Hardeman, and that is something that I never would like to do. That is an amazing ability and talent to stand in that forum, and to do that is quite challenging. He is a member of the Tennessee State Judiciary, has been so for over 30 years. He is the presiding judge of the Tennessee Court of Appeals, the Western Section, and he is third in seniority in the entire Tennessee State Judiciary System. He's been married to his wife, Sandra, for 53 years. They have two married daughters and four grandchildren, which he will be glad to spend some time talking with you about if you would just give him a moment. Had a hard time leaving last night hearing stories about his grandchildren. That's okay, though. That's, I understand. I'll be there myself one day very soon. Alan Heyer's is a very capable man. He is a preacher, he's a writer, an editor, he is a debater. And there's a thought in my head that I had just down here. Alan, was it you that brought the rattlesnake to the debate? Did you bring the rattlesnake to the debate against Bishop? Was that Bishop? Yeah, he was debating a man who claimed to have the ability to work gifts and said, okay. Brought a rattlesnake to the debate. Yeah. That's the kind of man we're dealing with this morning. I'll not take up any more of his time, but it is a great privilege and honor to introduce to you Brother Alan Heyer's.
Thank you very much. I've really enjoyed being with Jonathan and Julie. And I do know several members of Jonathan's family, including his father and mother. And I can tell you he's from good stock. Really a fine family. I've enjoyed being with a church here at Katy. I have several members of my family here in the audience today, including my wife. And I was telling her last night on the telephone that holding a meeting at Katy is like going back to the churches of my childhood. I have loved the way that everybody is enthusiastic, everyone listens so well, and I worried about running over a little on the time on our first service on Friday night, and then after the service was over, I noticed everybody stood around and talked for at least 30 minutes. So I could tell you were not in any great hurry at that time, and it made it very enjoyable for me. One of my favorite sections in the Bible is the prophets. And I know it is the section of the Bible most people know the least about. Nearly everybody knows something about the New Testament. People know Genesis through Deuteronomy in the Old Testament, maybe the historical books, starting with Joshua, Judges, and Ruth. Everyone has quoted and used the Psalms, the Proverbs, and the poetic section of the Old Testament. But when you get over to the prophets, it's an area that most people are not as familiar with. And I know a number of years ago when I first began to study the prophets, I was amazed at how rich they were. How much good material is there to be learned. And what I would like to do today is to emphasize some lessons from the prophets. We'll not be able to talk about the prophets in any great depth or detail, but I want to introduce you to some prophets, and I want to draw a lesson from several of these prophets. I want to begin with Isaiah. Isaiah is one of the better known prophets because he's quoted very often in the New Testament. And he's also known as the Messianic prophet. That is, Isaiah had a great deal to say about Christ. But what I'm going to deal with this morning in a lesson from the prophet Isaiah is not one of his messianic prophecies about the coming of Christ. I want to deal with a passage where that God called Isaiah to be a prophet. And Isaiah doesn't really go into that in the first chapter of his book, but over in chapter 6, he says, God said, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for me?" And Isaiah answered and said, "Here am I, send me." And God said to him, "Go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not." And I might take just a moment to clarify what is involved in that commission. What God is saying to Isaiah is this: I have a mission for you. I have a work for you to do. I'm going to send you to a very rebellious people. But I'm going to tell you before you go that they are not in a mood to listen. I'm going to send you to a rebellious people who are going to close their eyes so they cannot see, close their ears so they cannot hear, harden their heart so that they cannot perceive and understand. And I've often thought about what a difficult mission that would be for anyone. And it was a difficult mission for Isaiah, because Isaiah is going out to people who are not interested in what he has to say, and they don't desire to hear what he wants to present to them. I thought about how hard it might be for an insurance salesman to be sent out and to be said, "Nobody wants insurance. No one is going to want to talk to you. No one is interested in what you have to say." How discouraged he might be when he went out and tried to begin his work of selling, or an automobile salesman, or any other salesman who is sent out to sell a message to the recipients. God said, "They're not going to listen. They're not interested in what you have to say." And as a result of that, Isaiah asked a question: "Lord, how long?" And I think that is a question that any of us might have asked. Well, if you're going to send me to a rebellious people, if you're going to send me to people who are not interested in the message that I have to present, Lord, how long? How long am I to go and to preach to those who are not interested, to those who don't care? And I really think that many of us can identify with the message of Isaiah, because we look around us today. This is the Lord's day. Here we are in worship together on the morning of the Lord's day. And yet, if you walked out on the street or drove your car around in the area, you would see that there are many, many people who are still at home. Some maybe who are just getting out of bed. There are others that are on their way out to some recreational place. They have no thought about God. They have no thought about worship. They have no thought about the church. They have no thought about the gospel message. They're not receptive to it. And I know that sometimes those of us who are members of the body of Christ may really get discouraged. And we may think no one cares. No one is really interested in the message that we have to proclaim. And we may be like Isaiah was in the long ago when God said, go out and preach to this rebellious people, but they're not going to see, they're not going to hear, they're not going to understand, they're not going to comprehend with their hearts. And so Isaiah says, how long, Lord? How long am I to go out to these people that do not care and these people that will not listen? God answered him and said, until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land utterly desolate. Isaiah 6 and verse 11. Isaiah's charge was to preach whether anyone listened or not. And I think in some ways that is a charge that we need to remember today. We must not grow discouraged to the degree that we think, I just can't go on. We cannot grow discouraged to the degree that we think nobody is ever going to listen, nobody is ever going to care, because there are good and honest hearts out there. But like Isaiah, we may cry, how long, O Lord, how long? And in the case of Isaiah, God said, I want you to preach until there's not a man in the house, until there's not an inhabitant in the city. In other words, as long as there is someone there to hear, Isaiah, I want you to go and I want you to deliver the message that I have given you to proclaim. And I believe that we have the same message today. We're to go, we're to preach, we're to give people the opportunity, we're to spread the gospel message. Some will hear, understand, and believe, but there are some that may harden their hearts. Maybe they will never believe, or maybe at some time they will be touched. But nevertheless, our responsibility is that we're to go and we are to preach. Brother H. Leo Bowles was one time president of Lipscomb, David Lipscomb College, it was known then. And he always taught the young preachers. Brother Bowles said to them, you ought to read the books of 1 and 2 Timothy once a month for the rest of your life. And one of the things that Brother Bowles emphasized in his lessons to young preachers, he said, God never told you to be successful. He did tell you to be faithful. And I think that is what we see here in the message of Isaiah, that regardless of the reception or lack of reception on the part of the people, God said, I want you to go, I want you to preach, I want you to declare, I want you to do it as long as there's a man in the house or as long as there is an inhabitant in the city. And I like to think of the lesson from Isaiah as being, keep on keeping on. That he was to go in spite of the attitude of those that he confronted in his work. Keep on keeping on, Isaiah. As long as there's a man in the house, an inhabitant in the city, God said, I'm sending you out to preach the message unto this people. Then I want to call your attention to another Old Testament prophet that you know. There is a book by Isaiah in the Old Testament, and there is a book by Jeremiah. Jeremiah is an altogether different character from Isaiah and has a little different perspective, and we get a little different answer from him. Jeremiah said, I am in derision daily. Everyone mocketh me. Now, when Isaiah was sent out, the idea was that people are not interested. They're not going to listen. They're not going to heed what you have to say. But Jeremiah went out to preach, and what happened in his case was people made fun of him. They ridiculed him. He said, they hold me in derision all of the day. And I might ask the question, why did they scoff at Jeremiah? Well, listen to the message that he preached. I cried violence and spoil. The American Standard Version there says, I cried violence and destruction, because the word of the Lord was made a reproach to me and a derision daily. Now, God sent Jeremiah out to preach a very unpopular message. Basically, the message was, if you do not repent, God is going to carry you away into captivity. The Babylonians are going to come. They're going to overcome the land of Judah. They're going to take you away into captivity. And so Jeremiah proclaimed that message. That's what he meant when he said, violence and spoil, or violence and destruction. God is going to punish this nation unless you repent. That was the kind of message that Jeremiah was sent to proclaim. Now, a very interesting thing about that is, in the book of Jeremiah, we are also told what the false prophets declared. And their message was the opposite of what Jeremiah declared. Where on the one hand, Jeremiah cried out violence and spoil, or violence and destruction. In Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 14, Jeremiah said the prophets cry peace, peace, when there is no peace. Again, another rendering in the American Standard is peace and safety. And I want to ask you this question. I'd like you to think about it just for a moment. If you had a choice between hearing a message that said violence and destruction on the one hand, and on the other hand, you had a choice of hearing a message that said peace, peace, or peace and safety, which message would you prefer to hear? And I think if we admit our humanity, most of us would say, well, I would rather hear someone say everything is okay. I'd rather hear somebody preach about peace and safety than to hear someone preach about violence and destruction. And that is precisely what Jeremiah is complaining about. Jeremiah says, God has sent me to deliver this message. Violence and destruction, destruction coming from the Babylonians unless Judah repents of idolatry and of immorality and of ungodliness. And he said, therefore, I am become a derision all of the day, because he said, the false prophets are delivering this peaceful message that everyone enjoys. I'm saying things they do not want to hear, and they mock me and they scoff at me. There's an interesting verse in Jeremiah 5 and verse 31 that says, the prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means. And then get this little expression at the end of that verse. It says, and my people love to have it so. What are you saying, Jeremiah? I'm saying that when the false prophets tell people something that is not true, but it sounds good, they like it. They'd rather hear that message, peace and safety. They'd rather hear a message of comfort and consolation than to hear a message of violence and destruction, even though he said these prophets are prophesying falsely. Everything is not okay. Everything is not right with the world. Violence and destruction is the divine message. That is what God sent him to preach. But it was not the popular message. And so he said, they deride me, they scoff at me, they ridicule me when I preach to them what God has sent me to preach. And so, I've hit the wrong button there on that machine. I'm not very technological. See if I can undo what I did. No. I tell you, I don't need this thing. I can present this lesson without it. I just thought it might make clear to you. See if you can get that off of there and advance it to the next slide for me. Now, Jeremiah said, I'm in derision all the day. I'm being ridiculed all the time. So here's what Jeremiah finally concluded. Jeremiah chapter 20 and verse 9. By the way, this is one of my favorite verses in the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah said, I will not make mention of him nor speak any more in his name. That was Jeremiah's solution to it. He said, if they're going to ridicule me and make fun of me for preaching the truth, I just will not preach anymore. I will not make mention of His name. I'm not going to talk about God anymore. I'm not going to deliver the message that God has sent me to deliver. But then look at what he does. He was discouraged, ready to quit, surrender, give it all up. But then we read in the latter part of that ninth verse of Jeremiah, then there is in my heart, as it were, a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I cannot contain. I can't hold it in. And I love that, because what Jeremiah is saying is this: I get discouraged. I don't enjoy the ridicule that people heap on me for preaching a message that God sent me to preach. I know they'd rather hear the false prophet tell them something that is pleasing to the ear rather than something that they really need to hear. I'll just quit. I'll not speak anymore in His name. I'll not make mention of His name. But then he said the word of God was like fire within his bones, burning within him. And he said, I cannot hold it in. I cannot contain. And so when I think about Jeremiah, I think about this lesson: never, never give up. Isaiah was, how long, Lord? You keep on preaching as long as there's anyone to hear. So with Isaiah, the idea was that we must keep on keeping on. And then Jeremiah is one who suffered discouragement because of ridicule and scoffing. And the message from him is, never, never give up. Do not be overcome by discouragement. Do not be overcome by the circumstances of the world. Do not be overcome by ridicule and scoffing. Never, never give up. Now, I want to go to a prophet who is not as familiar as these that we've talked about thus far. Nearly everybody's heard of Isaiah. There's a book of Isaiah in the Old Testament. Nearly everyone has heard about Jeremiah, the book of Jeremiah in the Old Testament. And there are great lessons to be learned from those prophets, as we have seen. But I want to talk about a prophet now that I've referred to as the 401st prophet. You'll understand why in just a moment. His name is Micaiah. There's no book of Micaiah in the Old Testament. Micaiah is not as well known. But I guarantee you, when you look at the story of Micaiah that we're going to mention, he's going to become one of your favorite prophets in the Bible, as he is one of mine. In 1 Kings chapter 22, King Ahab of Israel. Now, remember that the people of God divided into two kingdoms. At one time, they were all together in one kingdom, and then they had a division. You had one in the north, one in the south. And the kingdom up in the north was known as Israel. The one in the south was known as Judah. So King Ahab up here in the north in Judah wanted to go up into battle against Ben-Hadad of Syria. Ben-Hadad is in the kingdom just north of Israel. Israel's the northern kingdom, and north of it is Syria. And Ben-Hadad is the ruler up there. And Ahab, who was a very wicked king, wanted to go up into battle against Ben-Hadad of Syria. But he felt that he needed help. So the king in the southern kingdom down here, known as Judah, was a man by the name of Jehoshaphat. And Ahab wanted to enlist Jehoshaphat to go with him in battle against Syria. And therefore he invited Jehoshaphat up to Israel and had a conference with him. And Jehoshaphat was a much more religious man than Ahab. And Ahab said, I would like to hear from a prophet of God. And Ahab said, no problem. And he brought in 400 prophets. Now, I have to tell you that there are some prophets, just as there are some preachers today, that are professionals. They're paid to preach a certain message, and they preach what they're paid to preach. These 400 prophets were professionals. They were on the staff of Ahab, the king of Israel. And so Ahab brought the 400 prophets in and told them, I want to go up into battle against Ben-Hadad of Syria. And Jehoshaphat wants to know whether that is something God approves. And 400 prophets said, go. Now, mind you, they're working for Ahab. And they knew what Ahab wanted to hear them say. And they said it. They said what Ahab paid them to say. They wanted to encourage Ahab to do whatever he wanted to do. But here's the funny thing to me about this story in 1 Kings 22. Jehoshaphat got suspicious. And I might ask you, if we had 400 preachers here and they all agreed, wouldn't you get suspicious? 400 prophets there, and they all said precisely the same thing. Jehoshaphat said, wait a minute here. And it's fascinating to me that Jehoshaphat didn't say, how about 100 more? You got 400 here. How about another 100 so I can see what they have to say? He didn't even say, would you bring in 50 more? Nor did he say, would you bring in maybe 10 other prophets so that I could see what they have to say? He asked for one. One. And it's so interesting to notice that he had 400. And he said this, is there not yet another prophet of whom we might inquire? He only asked for one more. And I think the reason is he realized that Ahab had brought in all of his professional prophets that were going to say what Ahab wanted them to say. And he wanted to know if there was one that was not influenced by the king. If there was one other prophet he could hear from who was going to give the word of the Lord. And so he said, is there not yet another prophet of whom we might inquire? And that's why that I call Micaiah the 401st prophet, because there'd already been 400 there that said just what the king wanted to hear. And now then, the king from the south says, I'd like to consult with at least one other prophet. And so he asked Ahab, is there not yet another prophet of whom we might inquire? And that is when the name of Micaiah comes up. And Ahab says, yes, there is one, but he said, I hate him because he prophesieth evil concerning me and not good. So if anybody's going to say anything against Ahab, he didn't like that prophet. But he knew there was one other one, Micaiah the son of Imlah. So they send a courier down to Micaiah to get him. And I want you to hear what the courier said to Micaiah. He goes down there and he says, there are 400 prophets who have prophesied for the king. And they have spoken with one voice. In other words, they all said the same thing. The courier said to Micaiah, let thy voice, I pray thee, be as one of theirs. They've all said what the king wanted to hear. The courier warned Micaiah. Now, if you know what's good for you, you go up there and say the same thing they said. Let thy voice, I pray thee, be as one of theirs. Behold, now, the words of the prophets declare good unto the king with one mouth. Let thy word, I pray thee, be like the word of one of them. 1 Kings 22 and verse 13. So, our question is, and it's going to be a fascinating answer, what would Micaiah say? Well, here is what he spoke. As the Lord liveth, what the Lord saith unto me, that will I speak. Is there any engraving on the front of that table? I know some communion tables have it. This one is plain. Some of them have a little inscription on the front of them. This do in memory of me. Have you all seen that on some tables that are used for the Lord's Supper? I want you to think about something. Have you ever seen an inscription on the pulpit? I never have. I've been behind a lot of them. I've never seen an inscription on a pulpit. I've seen it on the communion table, but never on the pulpit. But I have a nomination. If we ever put an inscription on the pulpit, I want it to be 1 Kings 22 and verse 14. Where that Micaiah was warned, you'd better say the same thing everybody else is saying. And Micaiah said, as the Lord liveth, whatsoever the Lord saith unto me, that will I speak. Wouldn't that look fine? Whatsoever the Lord saith unto me, that will I speak. And I have to tell you that when I read those words from Micaiah, my heart just swells within me with admiration for this prophet. I admire Isaiah, I admire Jeremiah, but one of my favorite prophets is one of the least known, and it is this prophet Micaiah, who would not budge, who would not veer from the Word of God, and no matter what anybody else did, Micaiah said, whatsoever the Lord saith unto me, that will I speak. And that leads us to the lesson from Micaiah. Stand for what is right, even if you are the only one. And I might say that sometimes is hard advice to follow. You're out with a group and they're doing things that you have been taught would not be right to do. It's hard not to go along. You're out with a business group and they're all doing things that you do not believe to be right. It's hard not to go along. You are a student in school. Maybe you're a member of the church. And 95% of the people around you may not be members of the church. And there be things happening that are in violation of what you have been taught is right and wrong. I know that all of us are placed in situations at times where it is hard for us to make a decision to do what we really earnestly believe is right. And that is why that I love this story about Micaiah, because he was the only one. There were 400 others there who had said something different to what he said. He was going to deliver a message that was not pleasing to the king. And he did tell him, if you go up into battle against Ben-Hadad of Syria, the people will be like sheep without a shepherd. And he warned Ahab of that before he went up into the battle. But here is a man that said, as the Lord liveth, whatsoever the Lord saith unto me, that will I speak. He was not influenced by what anybody else did. He had the courage of his convictions. He was willing and able to stand for what he believed was right in the face of everybody else doing something wrong. And so the lessons from the prophet from Isaiah, keep on keeping on. From Jeremiah, never, never give up. And from Micaiah, stand for what is right, even if you are the only one. Ahab went out into battle against Ben-Hadad of Syria. And knowing what Micaiah had prophesied, he decided that he would not wear the king's armor. So he put on the armor of one of his ordinary foot soldiers. He could not be identified as the king by the armor and the regalia that he wore. And the Bible says, it's so interesting, the Bible says that a soldier on the Syrian side shot an arrow into the air, the Bible says, at random. He wasn't trying to kill the king. He wasn't even shooting at Ahab. He shot an arrow into the air at random. Ahab had on armor, but you know that armor had joints in it where it would fold and give. And it is said that the arrow pierced the joints of the armor. And Ahab was carried from the battlefield to his chariot, where that he bled and died. The very thing Micaiah had warned about, the very thing that Micaiah had prophesied came to pass. But the marvelous thing about Micaiah and the marvelous lesson that we get from the prophet is that he stood for what was right in the face of everything else in the world. There are many great lessons from the prophets. The prophets are so fascinating. I love to study from the prophets. But I'm just giving a sample today. Three lessons, three prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Micaiah. But I would say to everyone in this audience that all of those messages are relevant to us today. Think about these prophets prophesying 600-700 years before the coming of Christ. But what they say is just as practical and every day for you and for me as it was in the long, long ago. And so now we have those messages coming down to us today. Keep on keeping on. Don't be overcome by discouragement. Never, never give up. There may be times when you feel like just laying everything aside. Don't do it. Jeremiah said the word of God was like fire in my bones and I couldn't hold it in. And then when you're in any situation in the world, in your business, in your work, in your personal life, in your family life, remember there are some things that are right and there are some things that are wrong. There may be some things that are on the borderline, but there are some things that are clearly right and there are some things that are clearly wrong. Don't be put in a situation where that the pressure of the moment causes you to do something you know is wrong. Micaiah taught us, stand for the right. If you are the only one. If you're not a Christian, Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. We encourage everyone who's never obeyed the gospel to come. Give us an opportunity to assist you. Confess Christ as Lord. Be buried with him in baptism for the remission or forgiveness of your sins. Be raised to walk in a new life, free from the degradation of the past. If you're a member of the body of Christ, you've been baptized into Christ at some time in the past, but have not been faithful, we urge and invite you to come in a public way if you've been unfaithful and to be restored once again to the work and the faith and the fellowship. If you're in the community and want to place membership with a good, solid congregation, here's an opportunity for you to do that. If you're subject to the invitation of our Lord in any way, we'd like to invite you to come while together we stand and sing.